Chapter 5. Be sure you're in fellowship. It makes a huge difference in the assimilation of Bible doctrine. Because if you are quenching or grieving God the Holy Spirit, He can't do what He's been given you to do, and that's to lead you and I into truth and reveal to us the prophetic word. All right. Instructions and encouragement to pastors. Verse 1. We're going to be talking about the pastor teacher and what Peter has to say about it and others. The Bible makes this very clear. It was a tremendous relief to me when I got on doctrine to realize that me and my family weren't going to be in one church for a few years and then pull up roots, pull them out of schools, go to some other place and bounce all around like they did in that denomination. Now, some men stayed longer than others in places. I was relieved that I wasn't going to have to go through, after you're there for, let's say, 6 years, they get tired of you and you get tired of them. Like a bad marriage, and then you go to the next one. That's what they do. Now, in denominations, it's even worse. They assign the guy to the church from headquarters on high. Really? This is not reflected in the New Testament whatsoever, as we know and shall go over again. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you. Now, the word elders, from which we get our word Presbyterian, presbyteros, elder, it's a Jewish term, really, for elderly males. That's one way it's used. It's also used of those who are leaders, regardless of their age. They can be a young man. It's used both of teaching elders and serving elders, as we call them, deacons. Okay. Therefore, I exhort. As you know, the verb exhort is para, which we get parallel, kaleo, to call alongside, line up with something. I exhort the elders, plural, among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as your fellow elder, sum presbyteros, only here, and witness, martus, means a witness, of the sufferings of Christ. Pathema, the noun here, in the genitive, sufferings of Christ. And, he says, and, adding more to this, and a partaker. A partaker is a participant, a sharer, koinos, the noun. Also of the glory. Also of the glory, doxa, the glory. This is used of phase of the believer in phase 3 or heaven. And a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Now, the Greek has the verb melo, which means must, you could translate, it must be destined, be about something, to be revealed, the present act, passive infinitive of apokalypto, to reveal something. One, the section which follows bears comparison on the one hand with the household duty codes of 1 Peter 2, 13-39, and on the other with Peter's directives on mutual ministry within the congregations in 4:7-11. Two, Peter begins here with the responsibilities of those in authority, namely, the shepherds, the pastors, of the local churches scattered throughout what is now modern Turkey. 3. The section begins with concentration upon elders, or we call them, from Paul's listing of some spiritual gifts in Ephesians, pastor, teachers, hyphenation, PT, because he has a twofold function. He's an overseer of people under his charge, and his job is to teach, communicate. Or pastor teachers responsible for feeding the flock. 4. Adjusted spiritual leadership was essential to the cohesion and unity of these churches as they faced a common set of circumstances. Christians walking, turning their backs on their pagan culture and its excesses. Which is all well documented. And in effect saying that all this is darkness, evil, a big lie, and we got the truth. You want to hear it? We got hope now. We're not out in this dismal thing of doing whatever they tell you you're supposed to do with regard to fake deities and all the other things that this kind of system sponsored that anybody that studied any ancient history knows. And you can study the Bible and know it too. The depravity, the corruption of all this make-believe world that is the direct result of the ancients after the flood blowing off the doctrine of God, which is evident everywhere. The creation begs for an explanation. And these other things don't cut it. A God of the waters, a God of this, and all the rest of it. Okay? And today, they just do the same, but they do it in the name of high-sounding science. Libraries are filled with this junk. Lies about the origin of the species. They got a book in the library called Darwin's Black Box. A scientist wrote it. He said, and he gives examples that things can't come piecemeal. They've got to come full blown or they don't work. And he uses the human eye. This is one I remember. And the other one he uses is coagulation of blood when you cut yourself. There's a whole bunch of little steps in there. You take one out, you'll bleed to death. With a minor cut. It's everywhere. The evidence of the genius of a creator. I like to look at some of these things online. Some of the new life forms they're finding, and I mean deep in the ocean. Deep, so deep that you can't get man down there in a submarine. I saw a jellyfish. It's translucent. It goes. It's beautiful. It can see through the darn thing. Another fish that has two eyes that come out like this. They look like light bulbs. And this guy's down there with a camera, and it's coming right towards him, just like a car would be coming up to you with two light bulbs. And the thing itself was the most gorgeous red color. And all these, and they all depend on each other in one way or another for food or whatever. And you can't do this with this mess. I think, you know, one of the most important courses that have been neglected in public schools, and they ought to start it early, logic. And give them exercises. Can you see there's something wrong here in this that doesn't add up in this. And so you read these pages and you find the thing that doesn't add up. And when, so that you can go out here in life and they can give you the interpretation of an event that occurred and the darn thing doesn't add up. That's how you survive in life. You do it this way. And they get mad as hell when you point this out to these people. But if you had a course in law, if you just want to believe everything that's put out by the media, you've had it. Because the elite realized we got to control this from the top down. So, these organizations were infiltrated with CIA-trained people and stuff, which is all about deception. They don't do that. They don't teach you logic. Some people have it innately, and you'll tell them about something. You know, that never made sense to me either. Because you sat down and thought about it. You weren't just a sponge that took it all in. And then when you got more information, you went, yeah, it's junk. It's junk science. It's a lie. Three. Robust, to say the least, buildings went down in 9/11. With cores with 4-inch thick beams going up in the center. And it goes boom, 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 boom. Gasoline fire. Are you kidding me? You could crash a plane there loaded with fuel and it isn't going to do that. And then there was a third building that didn't even get hit. And you can get photographs online of them. These buildings were designed to take a direct hit from an airplane and, oh yeah, I'll kill a bunch of people on the whatever floor, start a fire. Firemen were running up there immediately. They weren't worried this thing was going to go pew, 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 pew. They got in there in the name of elevator repair and they set charges. It's, you know what it's called? False flag operation. We got a deep state. We got people that do these kind of things. Create environments. False flag operations are nothing new in human history. We want to go to war because we want this, so we'll make it look like their people did it to our people. Men, people do this. People are that corrupt. Check it out for yourself. I saw a news report. They scratched it right after it went out. It was on one of the major networks. Guy standing out there on the lawn outside the Pentagon where this supposed plane hit it. He says, it doesn't make sense. There's no fuselage parts out here. The grass is still intact. They shot a missile into it. And why'd they pick that part of the Pentagon? There was a big investigation by accountants and these people because Rumsfeld, right before this all happened, he said, we're short $3 trillion. $3 trillion? And they were trying to figure out where the money trail, what was going on. So there's a lot of stuff going on. You cannot trust things at face value, people. And a lot of this stuff that's been coming out. So how do you get people in wars? You set up a situation. And you get them all revved up. That's what you do. Gulf of Tonkin incident. It's even on the website now. They didn't do that. And it didn't merit this. And then we didn't even win. When you have people like Kissinger and those people behind all this, this is where we wind up. I'm off subject. Okay, I'll shut up. But you need logic. Things got to make sense. They got to be logical. And if they can't answer a straightforward question that punches a hole in their balloon, then there's a problem. Ridicule, an obfuscation, and all this isn't going to cut it. Whether you're talking about the shape of the earth, the evidence is coming out. One of the things, part of the future that I look forward to is when all the lies and all the liars are brought out in the open. It's all exposed. Deliver us from evil means deliver us from the lies of people that throw us down the wrong path. I went to college. I took a course in economics. It's a freshman course. The whole idea, but no one explained to me what the Federal Reserve System was. No one revealed to me why we have inflation, the reasons for inflation. Printing all this paper money. Yeah. That's why it can be because of scarcity. But apart from that, we're not suffering from a scarcity of going into your grocery store and buying a gallon of milk. Why is it so much more expensive? They've inflated it. And who's behind the Federal Reserve System? It's, as the joke goes, it's neither federal and there's no reserves. It's owned by independent individuals, stockholders, and you can't be one of them if you had billions. And some are American and some aren't, and they set this up instead of our Congress saying, we're going to regulate money and we're not going to borrow from a bank. We're going to print the coin of the realm, and we are not going to have to go borrow from bankers. If you could print money and not have to borrow, wouldn't you do it? You'd be called counterfeiting. That's what's behind. And he who controls the money, as one of the Rothschilds in England, Nathan, said, I care not who's in political power, just who controls the money. Well, spoken well. The sons of Nathan Rothschild, or of the father Rothschild in the capitals. Let's get control of the money so that governments have to borrow from us, and we make a lot of money off of wars. We really do. Plus, we can reshape the world in our own image. That's the people behind the scenes. You hear about them from time to time. In America, the big name was Rockefeller. But, well, there's a verse in the Bible about the rich men of the last days, and it's not just all rich men, it's certain ones. The ones that are manipulators. It's James chapter 5. Woe to you rich men in the last days. They get a specific judgment. It isn't just they die and go to hell. Your wealth that you've hoarded up, it's going to attach itself to your skin. What? Your silver and your gold. When the nukes go up and this stuff is in the air, it'll be radioactive gold. They got this stuff buried in ground. They got all kinds of elaborate underground cities so they can write out doomsday. I've seen some pictures. Whoa! These aren't just little bunkers stuck in the ground like we had back in the day when I wasn't going to school and they give us these nuclear scares. Remember in grade school? I don't know if you remember. You know what we had to do? I saw a picture online of this that reminded me. The teachers had us all get under our desks. That ought to do a lot of good when the roof caves in. But see, it's psychological. It's implanting this, get this psychological. Because if you get people scared and worrying, you can manipulate them. They know this. They're trained in this. Bible doctrine will set you free. God's going to bring them down. You get down in your little hole in the ground with all the food and all the stuff you need. You see how good that's going to do you. He's going to pop that thing open like an egg. He's coming after you. Your only hope is to turn to Jesus Christ, like the rest of us. But no, you're going to trust in your money and that you're going to somehow hold on in a post-nuclear war. I saw a map online. The best places to be in the United States in case there's a nuclear war. No. I'd rather be right under ground zero and be vaporized into the atmosphere and go to heaven. But it isn't going to happen on this side of the rapture. But the threat of it, through my lifetime, has caused some of these things to happen. But remember, all the weapons on earth, whether tiny or of mass destruction, Jesus Christ owns them. He owns all the armories of the world, all the places where they launch this stuff, subs, planes, in ground. He owns it all. I got that verse in there. The weapons of the earth, the Lord's own. He's the Lord of the armies. You can call Lord of hosts. That means Lord of the armies. If they're good armies, bad armies, whatever they are. All right. The section begins with concentration on elders or pastor teachers responsible for feeding the flock. Adjusted spiritual leadership was essential to the cohesion and unity of these churches as they faced a common crisis. 5. The particle, therefore, links the exhortation to what has preceded in chapter 4, 12 through 19, probably on the ground that the crisis of judgment placed above and beyond demands upon those responsible for the oversight of the individual local churches. So Peter addresses fellow elders who shared the same responsibility that he had as an apostle. The verb exhort in the Greek means literally to call alongside. For a Peter functioning as an apostle had the authority to oversee multiple congregations with local pastor teachers. The apostles, they're all gone. They're all in heaven. They've been there a long time, so there's none to replace them. So there isn't an overseer of pastors like there was in the formative era of the church. That's gone. That layer has been removed. 9. In ancient times, the older men of a community were known as elders. They're supposed to be the smarter, the wiser, you know, in all these different societies. So they can give sage advice to the young ones that want to do this or do that. Moses called the elders of Israel together and told them that God had appointed him to lead the people out of Egypt when he went down there in his initial visit. He took the ones they recognized as leaders and elders, and he called them for a special meeting. And he told them that God had sent him down there, and that the new name for God is Yahweh. That name wasn't used before then. Adonai was Lord, small cap, but not the to-be verb, Hayah. Built around it, I am. And so when Jesus would say, I am, it's harking back to that name. He said, because Moses says, when I go down there, who am I going to? He hadn't been around those people for 40 years. He was gone. As far as they were concerned, they were never going to see him again. But he shows up with his brother Aaron, and the elders come out. And he has a walking stick. He throws it on the ground and it turns into a snake. He grabs it by the tail and it's back to a walking stick. Whoa! And then they went and had a contest with the magicians of Egypt. And they beat them like a drum. They find the magicians of Egypt, with their trickery, they finally said, we give up. We can't match that. See, that's the kind of proof God gives. That, you know, if you're smart, I'm going to go with the person that can do that. Or the person who has a relationship to the one that can do that. That's where I'm going. So he called together the elders of Egypt. Later, he called on them to institute the Passover. Exodus 12:21. We got a new ritual we're going to do here. Brand new. The first Passover was done in Egypt. It's equivalent to our Lord's table, but more involved. the Jewish Passover. And the first time you observe it, you're going to do it in Egypt. And then you're going to live out and illustrate, because the angel of death passed over everybody that had lamb's blood on their doorposts and lamp. All you had to do was just drop a little bit around and sit in there. You could have been an unbeliever and do it. Nobody's going to die. But if it's over there, if it isn't on there, every household had a firstborn male that died. And every cow or every male of the herds, they all fell over. Whoa. I think I'd let those people go. But people, they just dig their heels in, and they are stubborn. Just on a survival level. You want to keep your empire and go in? No. You want to see this out? Well, we'll play your game out. At Sinai, 70 of the elders went up on the mountain with Moses, Exodus 24:9-13. In the wilderness to relieve Moses, 70 elders shared his work as administrators and judges. Numbers 11:25. That makes a lot of sense, because you've got a lot of people and you've got a lot of issues being brought up, and Moses can't just possibly sit there constantly adjudicating over situations. So we got the 70 elders. This tradition continues down because it was apparently 70 who, if that's true, 70 who translated the Hebrew Old Testament into the Greek in Alexandria, Egypt. And that's why we call it the LXX, Roman numeral for 70. After Israel settled in the land, the elders were a separate group taken from the heads of the tribes and princes. 1 Kings 8:1-12-15. Each town had its separate group of elders. Verses 16. After the return from exile, the elders made up the Sanhedrin. 17. The elders joined the priests and scribes in opposition to Jesus. Matthew 27:12-18. This term was used in the early church to designate leaders in the local churches. Acts 14:23-19. It is used of someone who is advanced in age. 1 Timothy 5:1-2. The term was used interchangeably in the New Testament with bishop or overseer. 21. The term is used of both pastors, teaching elders, and deacons, ruling elders. 22. Context determines whether one or the other or both are in view. 23. Finally, the term is used of the 24 elders around the throne of God with their separate seats all around in a 360-degree circle around the throne in heaven. Who are they? Just 24. Well, it's church-age believers. John saw this in this vision of his. He didn't see himself as one of them. He sees 24 elders. We can rule out angels because they have crowns, harps, a musical instrument, and they're putting incense out. All the way around. This is all a prelude and a part of the scenery in the throne room when we get there with the opening of the seven seals. I don't know. Who are the 24? Okay, here's another way we can go look at it. They got so many priests in Jewish history, in Old Testament, that they divided them up into 24 orders. John the Baptist's father, he was in one of those orders. It was that order's turn. So that one of the reasons is so that everybody could have a chance at serving in the temple. You can't have all these, you got synagogues and everything out here in the local communities, but you can't have everybody in the temple. So they put them on a scheduling. Well, whatever the order number was for John's father, then they would choose one out of there to offer incense. This is a big deal. This is your whole career. You're doing this, and you get to go into the holy place one time. and offer incense there. So they would gamble. They would cast lots. It fell to John the Baptist's father versus the other guys that could have been there. And that's when he was told about the supernatural birth, that in his old age, the herald of the Messiah. He was an elderly man, and they were like Sarah and Abraham. They were past childbearing. And he was told, what you're going to call that boy's name? You're going to call him John. And he came out of there with his tongue cleaved to the top of his mouth. He was freaking out. He thought he did something wrong in the ceremony. But the angel tells him, this is why this is happening. Is to inform you of the birth of the herald of the Messiah. And all that time, you can go back and read it in the infancy narratives. I find this stuff very interesting. You know what the fun part is? It's in the details. It isn't just Jesus came and John introduced him and we just go on. No. Any subject that's worth studying, it's studying the details. So, these 24 elders, this is just a guess on my part. I think it's 24 pastor teachers that did their job right in time. I don't mean just started up and then fell on their face. I don't think the apostles are a part of that. It's those who held up the apostolic doctrine and did it right to the end. And just as the priesthood of Israel, we're a priesthood, all of us are royal priests. Just as there's a priesthood of Israel, there's a priesthood of the church. And it will be divided up into 24 orders. And maybe because we're clear down at the end, we'll be number 24. I don't know. Something to think about. I'm not trying to promote myself. But it might be shocking. Because there's been millions of preachers, evangelical preachers, giving the gospel, doing this, doing that. But how many of them got dead serious about teaching through the Bible in the course of their ministries? Yeah. Not many. So something to think about. These are not angels, as I said. That I know for sure. The 24 elders around the throne. The designation does not, at least in its New Testament applications, require that the individual be advanced in age to hold a church office. 1 Timothy 4:12. That's ridiculous. 25. The context here requires that the person that the reference is to pastors, because they're teaching elders. Okay, I'll let you go. I'll see you Tuesday night. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name.